Wow, well, amen to that. That is great. You know, it's great to get excited about stuff. You know, I work in Cleveland, and I was listening to the Cleveland Indians when they took the new record for the most wins in a row, and that's great, and that is exciting, and all the people went down there. But, you know, it's actually more exciting to be saved, to have the assurance that we know that if we die today, that we get to be with the Lord in heaven forever. I mean, you know, I followed the Indians for a long time, being up in the Cleveland area. And, you know, it's ups and downs. In the 90s, they were almost got it. They, you know, the one pitch by Jose Mesa ended the whole thing for us, you know, in that last series, that last game. But, and everyone walked away defeated. But, you know, in Christ, you don't have to be defeated. And that's the awesome thing. Let's just bow our head in prayer and get ready for the word that Pastor Dan's going to give us. Well, Heavenly Father, we sure thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you, Father, for most importantly our salvation that we have through our Savior Jesus. We thank you, Father, for this day, for everybody in here today, for this wonderful building and this church and all the volunteers and everybody here, Father. We ask your blessing on everybody. Touch us, Father, and meet our needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. Good to see you this morning. It's been a long time since I've been here with you, and it's always good to see some familiar faces. Some of you are new here, but I think we all know that Steve and Judy, God has blessed them to do His work and to do it faithfully. I know that Bill and Kim Head are personal friends of mine, brother and sister in Christ, and they serve here. So this is the place to be. This is the place to be today, because not only are you being fed the physical food, you're also hopefully being fed the Word of God, which is the bread of life that comes from heaven. Before we prayed today, I know that in our little circle of prayer, we asked God to bring His peace and tranquility into this room. And we really believe that God is able and willing to do that very thing. Today I'm going to talk about weathering the storm. Weathering the storm, and our text is found in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. But before we get to reading that portion of God's Word, we're going to find out today just exactly how the disciples did in weathering the storm, and how they could look to Jesus to find the answers to the fears and the lack of faith that they experienced while they were in the storm, which we're going to read about in a few minutes. You know, one of the interesting things about storms is no matter how much warning and preparation for a storm is given, there is always surprises. If you stop for a moment and think about Hurricane Irma just a few weeks ago, the predictions were that the hurricane would come up on the eastern coast of the peninsula of Florida and wreak massive destruction in Miami and the Palm Beaches all the way up to Jupiter Island. But who was able to predict that that storm that was taking an eastward track would move westward and bring its destructive power to bear upon Naples and all of the West Coast? One can never know exactly what a storm will bring and predict which direction the storm is going to go. It's interesting to me that those people in Florida, some of them decided they were going to ride it out. And they said, I'll take my chances. And so they hunkered down with food and water, while others decided to plan parties and have fun and kind of hope that the storm would pass and we're just going to entertain ourselves. And as a result, some of those probably lost their lives and wished, even if they did survive, that they didn't. They regretted the warning to evacuate to safety. You see, the truth about your life and my life today is that on any given day, and today is no exception, that we're either going to enter a storm, we're going to be in a storm, or we're going to be moving out of a storm. And when I talk about storms here today, I'm not talking about thunder and lightning. I'm talking about people storms. We're talking about those kinds of storms where we don't get along with one another. When we talk about storms, we can be talking about money storms when we don't have enough money to buy the things that we need. We might be talking about addiction storms, being trapped by drugs and alcohol. And that storm seems to go on and on and on for a lot of us. So the question here this morning is this. I actually have two questions. First of all, does Jesus Christ have the power to quiet the storms in your life? And the second question is he able to speak to your stormy condition and bring peace and quiet where there is turbulence and turmoil? And the answer to both of those questions is yes. So let's take a moment and read the story of our Lord, who taught his disciples how to weather the storm. Maybe this morning we can learn something from God's Word that can help you weather the storm that you're in. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it states, "On that day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us go to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took with him in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" So Jesus and his disciples were on a boat trip across the Sea of Galilee. And several years ago, myself and other staff members of a church had traveled to Israel. And I was actually on the Sea of Galilee. It's a beautiful freshwater lake. Very beautiful. But because it is a shallow lake, any time a storm would come up, it would endanger the fishermen. So here they are traveling at evening, headed across the lake. They just had finished up a busy day of ministry with Jesus. They were tired. And I would imagine the disciples were looking for some rest and relaxation away from the crowds. So they had no concern. Most of those who were in the boat were seasoned commercial fishermen who made their living on the water. They knew the lake, they knew its dangers, and they must have been in stormy waters before and knew how to navigate those kinds of storms. But let me pause and just say this just before we begin. Sometimes when we go through storms in life and we survive those storms, there is certainly a confidence that we gain as a result from that experience. But we must be careful not to rely upon the confidence we learn from the experience of surviving a storm, because a different storm can come our way and test our faith. And so these disciples were, as far as they were concerned, were not anticipating a storm, and they were ready to go across to the other side. Now, it was a normal departure, even though it was evening. And the Bible tells us on that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took with him in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. So again, as far as we know, there was no need for concern. There was no storm brewing. I mean, they didn't have the kinds of things that we have today, that weathermen that can look at radars and predict that a storm is coming and issue warnings and so on and so forth. But I can tell you that Jesus Christ knew there was a storm coming. I mean, he is the Son of God. And so here these disciples were completely unconcerned. And so there they were headed across the Sea of Galilee, hopefully to rest and relaxation. Now, it's an interesting thing when you look at the passage here. The disciples really did not know exactly what was going to happen after they had crossed the sea. But Jesus knew exactly what he was headed into, because Jesus had a purpose. He had an agenda. He had ministry. And if you read on in Mark chapter 5 and verse 1, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but when they did finally cross the lake, the first thing they encountered when he stepped on the shore with his disciples was a man demon possessed. You see, God, what I learned from that is God is already ahead of the storm. That He had a purpose for His disciples to train and equip them to bring the gospel to many, many people. And as far as the disciples were concerned, there they were in the boat. And yet Jesus knew a storm was brewing, and He knew on the other side of the storm that there was ministry to perform. You see, God is always ahead of us. God always knows what's around the corner. Even though we don't anticipate a storm coming into our lives, God already sees our tomorrows. He knows exactly what is past the storm in our lives. And I think that's a good reminder for us today, because sometimes we get caught up in the middle of the storm and we can't see the big picture that God Almighty is in control. So there was a purpose. Now, this normal trip was not going to last, because it turned into be not a normal journey across the lake. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But what was Jesus doing? He was in the stern. He was in the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I could sleep through a storm like Jesus slept. Yes, it was a normal departure, but it wasn't a normal journey. The suddenness of the storm must have taken the disciples completely by surprise. The dangerous situation they found themselves in was equally terrifying. And here is Jesus sleeping on a cushion while the disciples were afraid for their lives. They must have looked over to Him and thought to themselves every now and then, well, if He's sleeping, everything is going to be just okay. But not this time. Here's a sample of a storm in life, something that I made up that is not necessarily true, but I think is true to life. This is what happens in our life. Our normal day begins. I don't know what your normal day is. I don't know how your day began. But you're not expecting anything major to happen. You get up in the morning, eat breakfast, and go about your day. But then in the middle of the morning, the cell phone rings. It's the highway patrol, and they're informing you that your sister was killed in a rush hour traffic on I-480 just an hour ago. You're stunned because you just spoke to her the other night about meeting the next day at Starbucks to talk about planning for your parents' 50th wedding anniversary. And the next thing you know, she's gone. And now all the emotions start to surface. Fear, panic, anger, sorrow. You're paralyzed. Who do I call? What do I call? What do I do? Who can help me? And the tears are falling down your cheeks so hard you can barely see. Now that is a made-up story, but that is a story true to life. We start off in our day. Today's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. It's bright. It's warm and everything else. 2 hours from now, your life could radically change. Because you're going to enter into a storm that you and I have no control over. The disciples were terrified. This was not a typical thunderstorm. This was a lose your life storm. This storm was to lose everything near and dear to your life storm. And the boat was filling up and at the point of sinking. Does that sound like something that you're experiencing right now? They woke him and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And I would say, as I look at this text of Scripture, I would probably ask myself that same question. I can't say this morning that I have been where the disciples were in this story, that I was on the edge of losing my life. I may have possibly could have lost my life and not even known about it. And by the grace of God, He spared me, just as He spares you. But I think I would ask the same kind of question. I would wonder, where is God in all of this? Don't you care that I'm in trouble? And so here they are, the disciples who are afraid and they needed help. And they're asking themselves, is He asleep? Is He paying attention to us? What's happening to me? Does He really care? Isn't it true that sometimes when we're in the storm, we wonder, does God really care about me? Is He asleep? Is He paying attention? Does He even know exactly what's going on in my life, in your life? Folks, we can't control the storm. In today's world, we may be able to predict the weather. We've got all the technology at our disposal to do that. But let's just remember, a prediction is only a prediction. When we are hit with a life storm, and I mean we are in it, we can't control it. And that's one of the things I think we all need to come to grips with here this morning, including myself. There is really essentially no difference between you and I. The only difference is in the kinds of storms that we're in. My storm may be different than your storm, and your storm different than my storm. But neither you nor I can control the situation in which we find ourselves. We try out the solutions that we think that are going to help us navigate through the storms of life, and we fail. I mean, stop to think about it. Most of these disciples were commercial fishermen. They knew the lake. They had all of the skills necessary to make sure that they could navigate those waters back to safety. But even all of their skills and all of their experiences could not save them from this storm. It was a normal departure. It was not a normal journey, for sure. But I can tell you this morning, it was a memorable boat trip. And when he awoke, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Even in the most terrifying moment, even in the most terrifying moment, the disciples knew who to turn to. I don't think they fully understood exactly who Jesus was, though they followed him. And their response to Jesus' act came in the form of a question. Who is this person? Who is he? Well, he was and is the Son of God who speaks the truth with authority. There's three things that I pick out of this memorable ministry moment that I think we all hear this morning need to understand about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In case some of you were falling asleep, you're ready to finish up with me now. You're awake now, right? All right? You better get awake. Some of you are getting a little sleepy out there. Don't get sleepy. If you're in a storm right now, I guarantee you're not sleepy. All right? And chances are there's a lot of you who are in a storm right now. Okay? So put on your listening ears. We're about ready to finish up. And let me just say, you're not excused to go back to eat yet till I'm done. All right? And then I'll let you know. So who are you going to turn to in your most terrifying moment today? That's the question. Who are you going to turn to? You're going to turn to your street savvy? You walk the streets, you kind of know the thing, you're in the hood, you know all that kind of stuff. You're going to turn to all that experience and all that wisdom to help you navigate the storm? You know that's not going to work after a while. We're here today because for one purpose, and that is to share this gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created the heavens and the earth. And that is why the first thing I want to say is that His Word is power. The Word of God is power. He is the Creator. And that is why He could speak to the wind and the waves and the forces of nature, and they would obey. Disciples could not control the forces of nature, but the Creator of heaven and earth could. And He could and did settle the turbulence with His spoken Word. And this is the same God that can settle the turbulence with His spoken Word into your life. It is the power of God's Word that saves. It is His powerful Word that changes the circumstances around us, but more importantly, changes us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The second thing I want to say, as Jesus addressed the disciples, is that His word is peace. When God speaks His word, the effects of the word spoken is peace. "Peace be still," Jesus said. And do you know what followed the peace? Great calm. Great calm. Now that the effects of the power of His spoken word is peace. He is, after all, called the Prince of Peace. Is it possible to be in a storm and still have peace? And the answer is yes. Because even though the circumstances around us may seem to be unpeaceful, God can change our hearts by the power of the gospel, by His word, and speak peace to us that we may experience the peace of God. Jesus was a few short weeks away from the cross. When He died on the cross for your sins and my sins, He was the atoning sacrifice, the Bible says, not only for my sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ gave His life as a ransom for many. He died for you, and He died for me. So what kind of turmoil and storm do you think He was about to face? He faced the betrayal of His disciples. He faced a trial, an unfair trial, and was falsely accused for crimes He did not commit. He faced ridicule. He was beaten and scourged. He was humiliated and shamed by the Roman soldiers who stood at the foot of the cross. They even gambled for His garment. Now that's a storm that you and I will never enter. But Jesus did so willingly. And when He was on that cross, in the midst of that storm, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even the Prince of Peace, in the middle of that storm, had the peace. "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So where do you want to be in life? I've got one more thing to say, but where do you want to be in life here today? Do you want to be on the side where there is peace in Christ, or do you want to be part of the world where there is nothing but turbulence, chaos, destruction, and everything else? The choice is yours today. Which side do you want to be on? Which life would you rather live, a peaceful life or a chaotic life? And finally, His word is permanent. It is everlasting. God's word is without change. It's authoritative. It's trustworthy at all times and all places in all circumstances. It exists to function no matter what the unforeseeable future conditions might be. When he spoke the word, he turned to his disciples, he calmed the storm, and he said, in reference to faith, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" But the question really is, don't you trust me? Do you trust Jesus, really? Stop and think about that for a second. You're here today because, and I've said this 100 times, you're here today because you're hungry, you want food, you want fed, and I'm glad you're here. We're glad to serve you. But once you walk out of this building, once you all walk out of this building this morning and have your fill, some of you are still going to be empty. In your heart, you're going to be empty. And you will have missed today the most important food, the food of eternal life, and the peace that comes with knowing Jesus. You see, when we concentrate our attention on the storm, we're going to be fearful. Trust me. If our attention is on the storms of life and the problems that we're facing, you know what the result is? Fear. It's fear. But when we put our eyes on Jesus, who is the Lord of the storm, faith arises in our hearts and salvation comes. I remember long ago, my nephew and I were swinging on the porch swing at his grandpa and grandma's house. I think he was 5 years of age at that time. It was in the summer. And you know how it is, and for some of you in Sunday school, how you'll learn these little Sunday school songs. And as we were swinging on the porch together, he started singing a song that he learned in Sunday school. And I don't know exactly how the song went, but I tell you, I don't forget the words. And this is how the words go. When Christ is in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Are you smiling today? If you're smiling today, it's because in your heart, the Lord Jesus Christ put a smile there. Smiles only come here. But they first have to come here in our heart. But some of you today are not smiling. And the storm that you're in right now seems like it's an impossible thing to get through. And you're doing everything in your power to work through it. And I can tell you right now, I guarantee you right now, you're not going to make it without Jesus Christ. You're not going to make it. And so, Father, as we pause here this morning, we can try to weather the storm on our own, or we can allow the one who is the God of the universe, the creator and sustainer of all living things, the God who made us and knows us better than we know ourselves, take control of our lives if we just simply put our faith and trust in you. Father, I pray that as we get ready, before we get ready to eat, will we stop for a moment and say, Lord, I'm not really so sure about where I'm at in this storm, but I need your help. And I need to look to you just as the disciples looked to Jesus. Father, I know that you can rise up in that boat and speak your word to our situation and say, peace, be still. But only if we call on your name. So I pray, Father, before we eat, that if there's anybody here this morning who has never taken that step of faith, to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to forgive them of their sin, to repent and turn towards the cross and turn away from all the worldly solutions they may come up with in terms of dealing with their addictions, whatever that might be, their money issues, whatever that might be, their relationship issues, whatever that might be, whatever those storms might be. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that they take the step of faith. We ask this, Father, and I ask you, touch those hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, before you get up, listen very carefully. Before you get up, listen, please, don't get in the food line yet and get fed until you get fed here at the altar. The Prince of Peace is here. There'll be plenty of food for you to eat, trust me. But we're going to invite you to come, even if the line here is going to fill up. You're dismissed to go to the food line, but please come and speak to us about Jesus.